Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to get sick of that accent after a while. I just wonder if anybody out there from the UK can tell me what part of London that is so I can, like, never visit it if I end up going over there. Either that or I'm going to, like, pay people to say Blog Talk Radio when I get over there. But in any case, this is Sam Freedom Hour number 12. And for those of you who have been following along quite regularly, it's not really number 12 because the first two were only 15 minutes. And come snowstorm, sleet, rain, whatever it is, I'm going to say that at the beginning of every show. Whether you think it's just being obnoxious or consistent, I will leave that up to you. So I decided to call in tonight just by myself. No Ryan to pick on, no Rusty to butcher and mutilate livestock, no depraved lunatics from the other side of the globe who can't sleep and feel like calling into the show of a random blogger who is perhaps a little bit disturbed. But I did just send a bulletin out to people to see who was paying attention. I sent it out with a phone number, and we're going to see who's going to call in tonight. I just truly don't care if anybody calls in or not. Do you know why? Because I don't care, and I really mean that. You know, I've offered up shows for people who want to talk about politics, and I've offered up shows for people who want to talk about titties. I've offered up shows for people who want to talk about everything from sex to abortion to pro-life, you name it. And truthfully, it's really kind of up to, you know, it's up to the individual. Really, you know, it's funny, like, Howard Stern, I must attract it. You know, I've gotten people who, you know, call in an altered state of mind, drunk. Last time I had Rusty and Robbie, and they had a little interesting interaction there, you know. And Robbie's finally started his own show, which is actually, I hadn't listened to the whole thing yet, but it's actually pretty good. And let's see. I've got Fuck You Friday coming up tomorrow, and I've been tagged three times by people who are doing the pimp tag blog, so of course I have to respond with something spectacular. Should be coming out soon. I'm going to do two blogs tonight, which is the Things You Need to Know Thursday and Fuck You Friday, which is going to have the contestants from Fuckapalooza, the winners. Fuckapalooza, for those of you who don't know yet, was the first contest, Fuck You Friday-based contest for people who wanted to rant in a contest format, and I'll tell you right now, it was really quite a showing. I would say everybody did really well, and I mean, you know, some people did way better than others. But the point was is that each person did get, you know, some votes, and I was really happy to see that because all the rants were pretty darn good. They were rants in the serious department, rants in the, you know, in the humor department, and rants in the poetry department. I'm surprised nobody took a photo blog rant because that seems like it would be the easiest, but people stuck to the other three categories. So it was fierce, and Rice T was leading the pack in the funny section until he sent out a bulletin, which was, you know, it wasn't, didn't break the rules, but it was like that kind of creative self-promotion that didn't break the rules, but it was like, you know, borderline irritating to one of the other contestants who pulled his blog from the contest, and as we say, took his ball and ran home. So, that being said, I'm going to post the details tomorrow night and start a new contest because there's a lot of new people who came in from the last Fuckapalooza who are now itching to be in the next one, and I can understand why. Everybody got, you know, everybody got new traffic. Some people got like up to 30 new readers, which is kind of cool, and they definitely got a lot more traffic that day, comments on their blogs, and that's the beauty of it all. You know, Fuckapalooza is not like some self-centered rant, and it's supposed to be for people to kind of, you know, get their shit off their chest, have hundreds of people see it, and feel the joy of knowing what it's like to be in the spotlight for a little while and meet other people. Now, I am happy to say that somebody was reading the bulletins and they're calling in, and I'm going to unmute you now. Caller, please say your name.
Hey, Sam, it's Fat Kid.
Hey, Fat Kid, how you doing?
Not too bad. How you doing tonight, Sam?
Good. What a loyal caller you are, man.
Hey, like I said, if I like you and I enjoy you, I got no problem with it.
I got to give you credit because I've been pretty harsh on my show sometimes, you know, and everybody gets a little bit of it, don't they?
But you want to know what? That's the beauty of people. We're all different.
We're all different.
We're all different. You want to know what? If everybody were the same, there'd be no reason to call in, wouldn't there? Because I already know what you're going to say. I already know how I'm going to respond to it, so what's the point?
But what if they were? What if like everybody was the same as like the new Miss America? What's the Donald Trump, the girl who was in Donald Trump's Miss America there, Miss USA?
What about?
What if everyone was the same as her? Wouldn't then there be a reason to call in, or would it be boring?
No, because that means that I would also be like them.
Yeah. So what?
But I would know exactly what they're going to do.
But so what? Don't hot chicks like other hot chicks?
Got me. I'm not a hot chick, Sam.
No,
I'm an ugly guy.
Please, let's not play games here. You know that other hot chicks dig hot chicks.
Yeah, I mean, they can.
No, you know there's lesbians that love each other, that are really hot.
There's lesbians that love each other.
Okay, so don't you think that, like, even if all the lesbians, like, look the same and behave the same, that they still might enjoy getting with each other?
Yeah, they could.
So that kind of,
I'll give you that.
That kind of disproves your theory, which is, I understand it, but it disproves it. Like, if we were all the same, then nobody would, you know, be interesting or call in. If we all looked like her and we were lesbians, I'd call in, you'd call in, right?
Maybe. Honestly, I don't know. I mean, every night's different.
I'm just kidding. Right? Hey, listen, I got a question for you.
Okay.
I think in California they're trying to make it it's in Texas. They're trying to make it a Class 3 misdemeanor now for any parent that misses a parent-teacher's night.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
A Class B misdemeanor?
Class 3 misdemeanor.
Class 3 misdemeanor.
Yep, they're making bad parenting, they're criminalizing bad parenting. If a person does not attend their child's parent-teacher session, they get charged with a crime.
So pretty much now if my work will not allow me to get off, I'm going to get fined for it?
I mean, there may be an excuse, but let's just say you didn't want to go.
All right.
Not fined. A crime.
Yeah, no. So we'll put it like this. I'm a 45-year-old guy. You know, I'm only 35, but just saying.
Yep.
I'm 45 years old. I work two jobs to support my family because taxes is expensive, and I got four screaming rugrats. The wife goes, but I'm unable to because I'm at work. So now I got to get a note from my boss saying I couldn't be at my kid's parent-teacher conference because I'm only making 5 1/4 an hour.
Isn't it ridiculous?
It's ridiculous.
But you see, not only that.
The best part?
Yeah.
Who ran that state not too long ago?
What's that?
Who ran that state not too long ago?
Well, George Bush.
Like I said, I can't say anything bad about the man, but
what's the point?
No, I'm not saying I'm a full-time supporter of him. He's made some good calls, but he's also made some bad ones.
What's the point you're making right now, though? Because you didn't even say anything. All you did was ask a question.
Yeah.
What are you implying in your own words?
What am I implying in my own words?
Yeah, don't repeat all my questions. What?
Yeah. Quite honestly, there's been a lot of screwed up shit that's happened in Texas.
I know. You know, I heard somebody talking on a radio show tonight about that, and they said the same thing. They said, you know, there's a lot of weird stuff that goes on in Texas. But
there's a lot of weird shit in every state.
Yeah, I know, but still on the law books. Texas and California seem to have its fair share, like more than others.
Well, still in the law books in the state of Washington, in Washington State.
Yeah.
It is illegal to drive at nighttime without someone in front of your vehicle with a light shining where you're supposed to go. Still on the log books.
Okay, now hold on a second. That is quirky, and it's a blue law, and it's quirky, and it may on a rare occasion be enforced, but what I'm trying to get at here is this one is widespread. This is like,
oh, yeah.
This is government sticking their nose into your house again. See, not only
correct.
let's just pretend that you could get a note from your boss, and let's pretend that you could go. Do you think that they have the right to make it a criminal for you to not attend it? I mean, somebody else said the same thing. They said, look, I'm going to just pay the $500 fine. I don't care.
It's not right.
No,
it's not right at all.
It's not.
I don't agree with it.
It's not, but they're coming up with all kinds of things like that. I mean, the world.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but a lot of what it boils down to is one of my main ways, and I look at life, is there's a lot of different sayings out there, and one of my best ones is stupid people shouldn't breed.
Well, you're not going to – that's cute, but you're not going to obviously stop that from happening. So
no, you can't. But what does it create? It creates more stupidity, quite honestly.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Well, it's true. I mean, you know, some of the laws that especially the liberals are coming up with are trying to protect the people with the worst genes.
Oh yeah.
And I'm not talking about a race or whatever. I'm just talking about
right.
Stupid people of all colors, religions, and everything are getting protected for their stupidity.
Oh yeah.
And what do? They raise their children stupid, and the stupid people genes get to proliferate.
Right.
So.
Hey, I got a great area right around here where I live at that perpetrates that. We've got some families that are like 2- and 3-generation welfare recipients living here in town.
Oh yeah, you got to be careful now with that one.
So
it's like the whole family's on the take, you know. We actually had that happen where I live. You know, you had some foreigners coming in from some Asian country.
Right.
And one of them actually, you know, like owns a shop, but the other ones are all like, you know, strung. Everyone's on welfare, like the cousin, the aunt, the uncle, the sister, the brother, and they're driving around in like sports cars, making more money than you and I.
Oh, I know. We had a kid that came into the office that was looking at getting into the military, and he was on welfare.
Yeah.
They're getting state aid.
What's that?
We got him qualified. You know, we didn't do anything illegal. He was qualified. We got him down there. He picked out a job. Had a set date that he was supposed to leave, and then the day before he's supposed to leave, he backs out and says he's not going. We asked him why. He comes in, and he goes, realistically, and he goes, why do I have to go and actually perform something in a manual labor sense to make money when all I got to do is sit on my ass and stay home? He goes, the state's going to take care of me for the rest of my life. And he goes, I don't have to do shit.
Yeah.
He goes, I'll take that one.
That sort of thing's going on, like, all over the place constantly.
But no, when I called in, you were talking about the blog contest.
Yeah, you know what's so funny? Like I said I was going to post the results last Monday, but what I figured
you never have.
Huh?
And you never have.
Right. Well, what I figured I would do to get the most people the most exposure was to post the results on the next Fuck You Friday.
Okay.
You think about it, because that's when everybody comes. That's when most people.
That's realistically when everybody comes and reads your stuff.
That's when the most people come and read it. You know what
right.
I'm saying? And, you know, I get a lot of action during the week, but, you know, there's people from all over make special exceptions to community.
Well, you know, this
you
week's
know, like, you can only read so many blogs, and, like, people will definitely make an effort to read that one.
Yeah. This week's been kind of slow for you, though, hasn't it, Sam?
I just got a little, you know, tired of it. I got fed up with it for some reason. You know, one day I woke up, I had a splitting headache, and I think I was just dehydrated or something silly like that.
Yeah.
You know, too much small print was hurting my eye. It just got to be... All these different things converged, and I was just like, you know what? Just who gives a fuck? And I just feel like three or four days, I just didn't want to post anything anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, do you mind if I ask you a few questions?
Sure, go right ahead.
So what do you do?
Okay.
For work.
Okay, next question.
You don't want to answer?
Nah, let's just say I'm in a similar field as you, but I can't talk about it.
Okay, that's cool.
No, I'm kidding around. I do internet marketing.
Okay.
It can range from anything. Like, I can sell advertising on online golf courses, or I can teach people how to build their mailing lists so that they can recommend products and get a commission from them.
Okay.
You know, how to build websites that are article sites that are monetized.
So you're a tech geek for the most part.
No, not at all. That's the funny thing about it, dude. I grew up like a bodybuilder, you know, sports guy, and I just also had a head for this. I love this stuff. I mean, you know, I'm going to about to give you too much information, but you know, like
right.
when I'm, you know how like some people when they go to the bathroom, they have like their favorite reading material.
I got mine.
Yeah, I do like Sudoku puzzles. You know, and you wouldn't know it if you saw me. Like, you know, when I was growing up, a girl joked around. She used to say, you know, I used to think you were a lunghead, but you know, I'm always trying to. I just love doing like, you know, brainiac kind of stuff. So when I realized that internet marketing allowed a person to sit at home in their underwear 24 hours a day and make money and make their own hours and not have to put up with inept, shitty bosses who usually knew less than me or even other people.
Right.
Or you don't have to fight a commute every day, or you don't have to, you know, just sometimes coworkers can be really catty and vindictive and competitive. And
yeah.
I found out that, geez, on the web you could, like, leverage the power of the web like a lever, literally just crank that fucking lever and make a paycheck. And people to this day, they still not quite sure what I'm doing. And it's like, I'm not going to just explain all the details of it to people unless I get paid, because no one uses
the information. You're taking money out of your own pocket by doing that.
Well, I used to help people, but no one uses the information unless they've paid for it, because then they're just like, oh, well, I don't have to act on this. But if they spend $300 or $400 on it, then they feel like they're losing $300 or $400 if they don't use the info. So I have great information, but I just don't give it to people anymore.
Yeah.
Plus, I've already said it out here before, I'm in a world-class theater group that's played at the White House on 8 occasions, but out of respect for my mentor, I don't involve his vision. I don't, bring his vision and talk about it on an ego level, like, look at me.
That's cool. So you're into, like, theater and all that?
Yeah, well, the funny thing is I was never, like, into theater. Like, if you asked me, like, any of the Shakespeare plays, I probably couldn't tell you.
Oh, no. I mean, but you enjoy, like, play acting.
Well, he's it's not play acting. It's something that's very unique, and it's just very unique, and it's not like a different play. It's not like a different play all the time. It's actually a review show that's been going on for a long time.
Gotcha. That's cool, though.
Yeah, I mean, I've played many different roles. I've done lighting. I mean, everyone there has to do everybody else's part in case, on a rare occasion, somebody's not there.
So it's kind of like a little grassroots type theater. You know how to do a little bit of everything, like a jack of all trades.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. I mean, whether you're handling refreshments or doing lighting, one minute I can be up on the third floor changing into like a costume, run down, be on stage.
And the next minute you're handing out props behind stage.
Yeah, next minute pulling a curtain, then you run up and do the lighting and then back down and do some juggling, something like that.
There ain't nothing wrong with that, though.
Absolutely.
That's how you learn stuff.
Absolutely. No, how can there be anything wrong with it? I said, it's played at the White House 8 times.
So you met a couple of presidents then, I take it?
Well, no, something? It's really funny. Like, that's really not our bag. Like, we don't try and, like, rub elbows with the famous people. A lot of them come to us. They're attracted to us because of what we do.
Gotcha.
And, some people will say to me, like, well, so what famous people do you know? And it's not like that. You see, famous people, they get whacked around on the tabloids all day long. And, you hear all the dirty details, like, this one did this and this one did that. Well, the kinds of people we know, they are the people just behind the scenes who, like, an actor may come and go, but a producer, like a head producer of a particular news channel or someone who's head of, a theater guild, these people are around for years. It's their passion. It's their life. They're the ones who are sending the famous people into Hollywood. And the famous people can live or die on any given day, but these people behind the scenes are the ones that are there for, like, the long haul. Those are the kind of – we're friends with the power people, not the glamour, not the glamour glitter people, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I understand where you're coming from.
There you go. Well, I tried to give you as good and involved as the answer as possible.
Yeah. Because, I like live-action stuff a lot better than movies. I mean, movies are great, don't get me wrong,
yeah.
But live-action is a lot better.
Hey, I got a quick question for you.
Shoot.
Did you just get my
your bulletin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you called it? Okay.
Yep. You haven't had a caller at all tonight yet?
No, and it's understandable. I mean, the bulletin just kind of went out, and a lot of people are just kind of afraid. But that's another reason why I kind of really, I'm just thinking of not doing the shows anymore and stuff, because if people aren't going to participate, it's funny. Like, it's hard to explain. I can have blog days where I get, 200, 300 comments, and then other days it's 50 to 85, and that's fine. Like, but if people really kind of want to support something, they need to take a little more active role and call in. Admittedly, like, I think my last show and the show, not the prior one to that, but 3 shows ago, there were good people on them, but they were difficult shows because the interaction was very awkward or difficult.
Okay.
It was like 5 people. It was like a free for all, And
you talking about the one where I called in and went off on the ex-wife?
I'm not sure if it was that one. No, there was the one where you were talking about movies. Remember that?
Okay, with all the 18 and 19
year
olds.
Yeah, and then the terminal randomness crowd called in. Don't get me wrong, I'm not picking each individual by themselves that called in that night were great. It was the the chemistry between everybody, which was a little bit
good mix.
was a little bit difficult. And so I needed to cut the seat. A show like this is going to be great if I just keep it to like one or two people.
Well, you want to know what? I mean, screw it. I mean, if you want to, interview me. Shit. I'm an honest guy. You know, there's some stuff that I probably won't comment on because it's not in my forte, but
yeah,
I'll give you whatever I got, man. I'm an honest guy. I don't hold nothing.
I don't care. Nobody cares. No, I'm just kidding around. Hey, so let me ask you this. How long have you been doing recruiting for?
For a little under a year now.
Okay. You see it on the news, but do you ever get into those situations where people, like, hate you being on campus?
The area that we're at, we don't really get an air. It's not really that they hate us. It's more or less that they don't want to piss off the parents, more or less.
They don't want to what?
They don't want to piss off the parents. Meaning, you know, hey, the recruiters were on post today, you know, trying to recruit people into the Army. Because, you know, with the way everything's going right now, you know, there's not a whole lot of people, you know, like lining up at the doors like it is when there's nothing going on where we're fighting somewhere. You know, there's hardly a walk-in market. People are scared to come in because they're afraid they're going to go straight to Iraq and die. I mean, people have this big viewpoint on...
Yeah, well, aren't they?
I mean, now...
But aren't they?
Like back in Vietnam.
But aren't they? Aren't they going to go straight to Iraq and not die? But aren't they going to go, you know, aren't they pretty much going to be, you know, go to boot camp and then off to Iraq? Because, I mean, the troops that have been there... Hold on. The troops that have been there three or four tours, they need a friggin' break.
Yeah, they do. No, don't get me wrong, Sam. I'm not saying that the guys don't.
But isn't that a way to send it? You take a new recruit, you get them, you know, put them boot camp, and then you get them... battle hardened for like real war by sending them into the skirmish.
But quite honestly, if you do that and you turn around everybody that's over there, you've got no veterans over there, so now you've got nothing but fresh people.
No, you don't replace all the veterans, but come on, I mean, aren't a lot of these new guys gonna go straight into Iraq?
Some of them are. And I tell them straight up, I was like, look, you're gonna go to Iraq. When are you gonna go to Iraq? I have no clue. I can't determine that.
I wish I was doing
that. Can I determine that you're not going to come home? No, I can't. That's
Do I have to be in the military to be a recruiter?
No, we have civilian recruiters now.
Awesome. You know
what? But you have to have served in a form of the military to become one.
Oh, come on. Okay, well, let me ask you this. I'm 39 right now. Is it too late for me?
To sign up and come into the military?
Anywhere?
Nope. The United States Army right now, as long as you reach... As long as you graduate from basic training prior to your 42nd birthday, you are eligible to enlist in the Army.
So will they kick my ass into shape?
Are you already in decent shape?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can handle myself.
I mean, you got a beer gut or nothing?
No, I got a little belly, but I mean, like, I've been working out my whole life. If you go look at the picture on my...
I've seen that picture of you where you're posing and all that.
Yeah.
So that'll get you, you know, that'll help.
I'll wait on after that, but the thing is I can still...
But for someone like you who's already in shape, they're just going to get you back into a regimen of doing something on a daily basis.
I just want to know if they're going to kick my ass back into total, like, pit bull shape, because then I'll do it.
There's a possibility. Depends on what you want to do.
Okay.
I mean, you're old enough to where you could try out to go straight into SF.
What's that? Special Forces?
Special Forces.
Okay. Look, I better lie to them and tell them that I hurt my ankle. I had ankle surgery.
You're trying to trick me here, Sam. No, you cannot lie to a recruiter.
Okay, but will they ask me if I've had ankle surgery?
Yeah, but that does not disqualify you. All you have to do is have a medical waiver. If the doctor is willing to say
I want to go on special
no board. Longer hinders you from what you are capable of doing now,
hey, if I'm brilliant,
you're able to enlist.
Okay, if I'm brilliant, can they put me into intelligence?
All right, if you want to get into a job, the way it works... You have to take the ASVAB test.
No problem.
Say again?
No problem. Is it anything like Sudoku?
If you're great at that kind of stuff, you probably wouldn't. It's basically, you've taken the SATs and the ACTs.
What if I know Arabic backwards?
Do you?
Backwards, yeah.
Do you know it forwards?
Eh.
But basically, if you want to get into like a really good job, you got to take the ASVAB. Based off your score in the ASVAB, if the job is available and you pass the physical qualifications for it, you can get jobs. The United States Army, if we can show it to you, say that's the job that's available right there, that's the bonus it comes with,
yeah,
that's the college money that it comes with, you can actually reserve a spot before you ever go down to MEPS to sign a contract, meaning hold this job for me.
Well, let me ask you this. Will I get to shoot people?
Depends.
No, I want to know.
No, I can't give you an honest answer on that, Sam.
What's the fast track, though?
A fast track to Iraq?
Fast track to shooting people. I don't want to just go to Iraq and be in, like, the serving food. I want to shoot people.
That's what I mean. A fast track to Iraq to see combat, more than likely, infantry.
All right. Now, when you're in infantry, right?
No, I'm an infantry.
No, I'm asking you, when you're in infantry, okay, if you're an infantryman, would you have to always run around in the formations like they show on, like, TV and on YouTube? Or are there ever points when, like in Spearhead, you can just, like, run around blowing the crap out of shit?
Most of our stuff that we do anymore is thought out. It's not.
I know, but can they ever send me on a dangerous mission if I request it? If I say, look, I know that's dangerous. I know I could die, but will you send me up there? I want to be the one up front. I want to be the one rolling over boulders and, like, going around the corner first and shooting every friggin' thing in my sight.
The company, what's going to happen, a decent company commander, he's going to break it up. First platoon might have the front one day. Second platoon will have it the next day. It's going to get broken up, so that way not one person is always going to be up front.
Yeah, but what if I said to him specifically, I want to always be up front? I'm not worried. If I die, like, my family would be sad, but at least I'll be a hero. And I want to just take out as many of these bastards as I can and not just sitting at home. Yeah, I want to go do this.
Quite honestly, if you've got a good NCO, he's not going to allow you to do that because you're going to get burnt out and then you're going to be a hindrance.
Oh, that's a shame. I wouldn't be burned out. Believe me, I'm cut out for it.
You'd be surprised, Sam.
No, I mean, I really don't.
I
think
you'd honestly be surprised.
I think you'd be surprised. You'd be like, holy shit, he's a killing machine.
No, I'm not saying that you couldn't do it, but I'm just saying, you know, some of the guys that you would honestly think are, you know, battle-hardened, could handle it on a day-to-day basis. There's one thing that just gets to them, and after that, they're a completely different person.
What's that, bullets flying over their head?
No, you don't know what it is. I mean, you might go up for that one mission saying that you want to be up front, and there might be something up there that you've never seen before, and it just gets to you.
Yeah.
It can happen to anybody.
Okay, you know what? If it can happen to anybody, then it can happen on any mission. So what does it matter if I do 100 missions and then it happens to me, or if I do one mission, then it happens to me?
But quite honestly, if you're always up front, you know, nobody else is going to get a chance to experience.
You know why I don't care? No, you know why I don't care, honestly?
Why?
I've watched so much YouTube. I've seen every kind of nasty thing possible.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen, like, all kinds of horrible things. I'm just ready. I'm ready to go kill the bad people.
No matter who they are.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Let me turn it back around to you like this then.
What's that?
Let me turn it back around to you like this.
Okay.
Right. An oath that every single service member takes. And you read my blog, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
All right. We are there to preserve life for the most part and go up against our enemy, whether they be foreign or domestic, meaning another U.S. service member. So you're in the same boat, but your enemy is also your best friend who just went a little psycho and started shooting inside the compound at you and your buddies.
Hey, listen, I'm trying to tell you.
I'm
trying to tell you, if anybody attacks my group, I don't care where they come from.
Yeah.
It happens. Like that guy who threw the grenade in the tent.
I know. I had the pleasure of seeing him on more than one occasion.
Yep. He would have never made it to trial.
Well, when I met him, he was already in lockup in Fort Knox.
Yeah.
We had to go in. I was patrol suit a couple times there, and we had to go in and do head count.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man.
We have to go in and see him in there.
You know what I wish they would do? Just airdrop me over Iran and just let the chips fall where they may. I'll just take out as many mullahs as I can. You know what I mean? I'm just going to go, like, mullah mania, going wild.
Just make sure that it's not indiscriminate mullah killing. As long as they're an actual perceived threat and they are an enemy. Don't just be shooting them just to be shooting them.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because not everybody over there is our enemy.
No, but they're all enablers. They're aiders and abettors.
I don't think they all are.
Sorry. They're allowing it. No,
but at the
same point, let me change then. You know what? I don't want to join anymore.
You don't? Okay.
No, I'm kidding around.
No, quite honestly, Sam, I'm a recruiter. You know, I believe in the United States Army. I really do. I've been doing it for 11 years. I love every minute of it. The recruiting aspect for me, I'm probably not the best recruiter out here. I probably never will be. I'm not a salesman. And that's what our job is, you know. We're not selling them.
Tell them shit. Just stop trying to be like Mr. Stand-Up Righteous Guy and tell them what they want to hear. Just say, you know what, in about 8 weeks you can be driving a tank over in Iraq. I mean, how awesome is that, dude?
But see, that's not what they're asking about. They're wanting to know, what job can I get where I'm not going to go anywhere? That's what they come in asking us, because everybody wants.
Yeah, but you got
to
make it sound like nothing. You got to make it sound good, though. You have to make it sound good. Like, you got to say, yeah, don't worry about it. We'll get you a job. I said, but, you know, you might have to do one or two tours in Iraq. And then if they go, oh, just say, you know what? It's been 6 years. There's only 3,000 people died, dude. That's less than a person a day.
And so you want to know what we do? We bring that up. And I was like, they do. They stand a better chance of dying on the streets in a car accident than they do of dying in battle.
Right, right. But here's the thing, is if you say it the way you just said it, then it's going to sound like, you know, you're kind of shaming them a little bit. Like, dude, don't you get it? And you're going to make it sound cool. You're going to go, you know what, dude? One person a day dies over in Iraq, maybe one and a half. I said, you're going to get to drive down the street in a fucking M1, A1, Abrams, blowing shit away, dude. When you come back, you're going to get all the chicks.
That works with some people. It doesn't work with everybody.
So what? What? You know what? They should really not worry about whether I've ever served in the military before. They should have me in there.
All you got to do is go into your local Army recruiter and talk to them.
I would.
You can search them on the web.
I do that. I wanted to be in the CIA, but they have some pretty stringent requirements as far as, you know, being in a university and stuff.
Okay.
I should go buy my degree. I should go buy a degree just so I can go join the CIA.
It ain't that hard anymore. There's enough internet-based colleges where all you got to do is say, hey, I want this. I want an extra diploma.
You know, my father's so funny. He's so worried. Like, you know, if I'm eating, like, you know, like a hamburger or something like that, he'll be, like, really concerned about me, you know, for health reasons. Like, anytime anyone's eating anything that's, like, bad for them, he's like, you got to be careful these days, you know, salt and sodium and fat. And he goes, he says, don't you dare die before I do. Like, that's a big thing with him. He doesn't want his kids dying before he does. And so I said, what if I went and joined the Army and, like, died serving my country? He goes, oh, that's different. like he wouldn't
– Okay.
He wouldn't want me to die, but he'd feel like at least he could be proud that his son didn't die from a hamburger. His son got turned into hamburger.
Right. So have you tallied up all the votes from the blog contest?
Yep.
All right.
I'm gonna give you.
I could be looking forward to that tomorrow.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna. I might even do it like at 3 a.m.
Well, I usually always check before I leave off out for work in the morning. And you want to know what? Like you posted on there? Quite honestly, you know, I entered the contest. You know, it'd be nice if I win. I'm not expecting to because I read some of the other blogs. But I was pretty much just for the same output, you know. Get it out there. Let people read it. If they like it, they can leave me a comment. I got a few subscriptions out of it.
There you go.
You want to know what? That's And quite honestly, even my subscriptions, the people that subscribe to me, hey, if they subscribe, they must like something I'm putting out.
That's true, but here's the thing, and here's what I want to impart to you and anybody else listening about marketing, okay? When you enter a contest like that, you know, try not to listen to the naysayers out there. A lot of people will be like, oh, contests are for, you know, kids, or, you know, they make fun of people for entering contests. But here's the thing. When you enter a contest, God knows how many people I had come through there. I just got thousands of hits to that one. Now, it's not like you're going to get all of them or even most of them or even many of them. But if you get, like you said, 3 or 4 or 5 people,
right.
Here's what happens.
Those 3 or 4 or 5 people,
they like you, and therefore they might recommend you to their friends, and then you're going to get an actual endorsement to, like, maybe hundreds of other people. So you can get from four people, you can get 40 new friends. You know, it just takes time. But sometimes you have to ask people. You have to say, hey, look, would you mind pimping out this blog? I really appreciate it. And you pimp them in return. It's called list swapping.
Yeah. Well, are you on your computer right now?
Yep.
Go to your homepage.
Nope. No, I'm kidding around here. Hold on. Okay. What?
All right. You're on your homepage. You got your bulletins up?
Yeah.
Look for the last one I posted.
Yeah, I saw that.
I pimp people like that all the time. I pimp people in blogs.
Oh, okay.
I got your Fuck You Friday banner on my
Yep.
Page.
Oh yeah, you know, I want to give you a suggestion, because I'm going to give this suggestion to everyone else too on the next Fuckapalooza. I've got to give people the secret to writing blogs that will get results. And the thing is, like, let's just say a person guarantees you 100 readers are going to come through your blog.
Okay.
They can't guarantee you what they'll do. They're just going to send you 100 readers, okay?
Right.
If your blog is, like, 5,000 words or 5 pages long, you're going to lose a lot of those people.
Yeah, the longer the blog, because you're going to lose interest.
Right.
It's like the MTV generation. If it's not under 2 minutes, they don't want
unless it's really broken down into, like, visually, like, so that people, like what I try to do with my blogs, when I have section one, section two, and they know that when they can scan a section, if they don't see anything that is, like, meaningful to them, they can just skip the whole section and go to the next section and scan that.
Right.
Rather than having to, like, skim down, like, a whole blog looking for anything that, you know, geez, am I going to miss something? Do I want to really read this? So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I have a question for you about your blog that day.
Okay.
You posted a blog. It was basically a rant about how all these people who were, like, supposedly – who were in the military were supposedly, you know, saying that, you know, what was it, shut down, fuck the troops or something like that?
Yeah, it was the – there was a MySpace group that started called Fuck the Troops, and it was an actual service member who started the petition.
Yeah, I remember the guy.
He wanted to get them removed from MySpace.
Okay, now here's my question. How do you know – that all those names on there were really people? Like, how do you know that it wasn't just...
I don't.
Huh?
I don't. All I did was I went based off of honesty.
Gotcha.
Because I'm an honest person. I put my real effing name up there, along with my MySpace name, which was a call sign of mine at Fort Lewis.
Right.
That's where the Fat Kid 6 Delta comes from.
Oh, okay.
And I just went off, and I broke it down by each group, Marine, Navy, Air Force, and Army. And I know the first one was in because I've been to his page, and I even messaged him about the petition he sent out and then sent him a link to my blog after I posted it. Never heard back from him.
Right. Hey, I have a question.
After I sent him the link to my blog. Before that, he said, yeah. He goes, I did try to petition to have him removed, but... You know, I looked, and there were so many others on there that had that thing that I never carried through with it, and they're still up.
Right. Well, you know, like I said, it's, you know, who knows? People are sending around all kinds of things. But I do have a question for you. Whenever people talk about how enlistment rates are down, I heard re-enlistment rates are up, actually.
Re-enlistment rates are up.
Well, a lot of people say that that's not because people are really excited about reenlisting or believe in the mission. It's because they're kind of already into it and they need the money. And, you know, sometimes I hear they're being offered more money to reenlist. And, you know, it's just easy for them to go back in because they've already been there and survived. But, I mean, what about enlistment rates? Are enlistment rates up or down?
Enlistment rates, they're about the same.
Okay.
I mean, our mission really hasn't changed.
How many people do you get a year, would you say?
Our mission for the United States Army is 80,000.
Okay.
That's worldwide for wherever we have recruiters at.
Okay. And what's the overall for the military in general, do you know?
For the military, I don't know, honestly.
Okay.
But, I mean, our enlistment rates haven't really gone up, gone down. I mean, we're not seeing, like, extreme fluctuation, you know.
What's the pick?
Where we're like, oh, we missed mission by, like, 30,000. We haven't missed mission that I know of in the last 4 years.
What's the pay for a person coming in?
Heck, oh, man, you would ask me that. I don't even have my table here.
Okay, but can we...
On the average right now, basically coming in the door, E1 private coming in is right around $1,200 before taxes.
What, a month?
A month.
Okay. That's really not a lot, is it?
No, not a lot. Not, and I'm not saying that our pay is great.
No,
But on top of
but
that,
no, hold on, hold on. Okay,
okay.
hold on, hold on.
I'm listening.
But I want to just be clear about this. That's you said that's after taxes, correct?
Before taxes.
Okay, before taxes, $1,200. So that's $400 a week. And you know what? But they probably get health, they get education, right?
Free medical and dental.
Yep.
Education benefits. There is the possibility of the $71,000 for college when you sign up. If you don't qualify for that, every soldier while serving is authorized $4,500 per year to go to school.
So they could go to a little community college.
You can go to a state college in a different state from where you're stationed at
Nice.
through the Army Education Center. We have an Army Education Center on every post.
Gotcha. And you're also learning a trade when you're in the Army, aren't you? I mean.
Yeah, you're certified. Like a lot of our people that are in the medical field, it's not you're getting training from the Army and that's it, and then you have to retrain if you get out and want to continue doing it.
Yeah,
It's based off the American Medical Association's standards.
well, I had a cousin who was in the Army for communications, and he ended up working. I think he worked on Patriot missile batteries,
Okay.
and he ended up he had he was doing something with microwaves, I guess, or I forget exactly what, but he ended up when he got out, he got a great job with Singular Technology.
Right.
Like he's literally the guy that goes around looking for dead spots, like the Can You Hear Me Now guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it is. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there. It's not just infantry. We've got over 150 job fields to choose from.
Nice. So a guy gets $1,200. He gets all of his dental and medical. He gets now. What is it? Does his family get any benefit?
All right. Well, I'm currently married right now. I mean, going through the divorce, but
Now,
for both of my children being born, if I were to add both of their births together just for the time of birthing and all that, the only thing that we ever paid for out of pocket for both combined was $22.50.
okay, now you're telling me you're not a salesman, and that's a salesman story right there. I'm asking you,
Yeah,
like, if a kid was signing up out of high school,
okay.
what would his family get any benefits, or would he have to be married to someone to get benefit, or what's the story?
The only way he could get benefits if one of his relatives, i.e., mom or dad,
Yeah.
or brother or sister, was dependent upon him.
Gotcha.
They would then take that person as their dependent, and that person would fall underneath the service member.
Okay. So in other words, if a guy's leaving a wife, if he's, even if he's 19 and he has a wife and she's back home, she's gonna say she's dependent on him, and
Yeah, she's still covered.
she's gonna get medical and everything, right?
She gets free medical.
And the kid.
Well, it's not really free. There is a copay on dependents.
But it's pretty darn cheap, right?
Oh yeah, it's real cheap. It's
Okay.
not that bad at
You
all.
get free ice cream?
Yeah, if you're a single soldier and going to the chow hall.
You get as much free ice cream as you want?
It's not as you want. It's not like that.
You couldn't literally sit down and have a gallon of ice cream?
Nope, probably not.
Who would stop you?
The cook?
No. What's the cook gonna do? Get out his M1 rifle? Was he gonna jump the counter?
But at the same point in time, they are on a budget too.
Yeah, but
The food,
it's ice
actually,
cream.
quite honestly, Sam, when I first came in, the food was not that great. I'll admit it. You know, it was that, hey, chicken jumped up on the table and started marking time. Yeah, the food was pretty lousy, but it's gotten a lot better.
Oh, I don't even care. I don't even care. You know what? I mean, I'll eat cockroaches and grubs if I have to survive.
Oh, everybody will.
But what I mean is if there's in earthworms too. If there's what I mean is if there's a ice cream in the mess hall,
Right.
and I want to go back for like fourths, fifths, sixths, sevenths, or eighths, like who really gives a crap?
They'll watch you, and if you start coming back and you start filling up, you know, then after a while they'll probably say, hey, you know, it's probably about enough. Why don't you leave?
How can they recognize you if there's like 50,000 people on campus or on base?
You'd be surprised.
Okay.
You'd be surprised.
So will they take bribes?
They're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Hey.
Thank you. That was the. I get it. They're not supposed to, but they do.
An individual person can do anything they pretty much want.
So there's
But
like a,
if they're
there is like a black market kind of, but it's not.
if they're caught doing anything illegal,
Yeah.
they will be persecuted.
Okay, but there is a black market. Let's just be honest.
There can be, yeah.
There can be. Just tell the truth. There is a little.
As a recruiter, I can't say anything negative about the Army, Sam.
Oh, that, okay. All right, I gotcha. So there can be is not negative.
Yeah, there can be. Because you want to know what? We have just as much crime as anybody else. As an MP, I should know this.
Yep. So you must catch guys like who used to work in the medical thing, like trying to sell Percocets and stuff.
That falls underneath the CID's purview, which is above us. They're like our FBI for the military.
Oh, I see. And what does it take to get in that job?
Say again?
What does it take to get into what happens if you get caught, like, screwing a girl? Are you allowed to?
What do you mean, screwing a girl?
Like, on base, can you, like, have sex with a girl? Like,
yeah.
It's not illegal?
Okay, give me the stipulations.
No,
I mean, lay it out for me. I mean, are you...
Okay, from what I understand, like, people in the Navy aren't supposed to have sex on a ship.
No, because that's... They're at sea at that point in time.
What's that, active duty?
Well, no, what it is while they're in a job environment.
Yeah.
You know, it's like saying, if I go to work today, I'm in my patrol car, I catch somebody, and she says, well, hey, I'll give you a blowjob in the back seat if you let me go. Yeah. That's in the line of duty. I can't do that.
Oh, I see.
But if I go home, and my wife's there, and we want to have sex, shit, we live on post, why not?
Oh, okay, but no, I mean, can you meet, like could two soldiers who are, like, that don't know each other meet at, like, you know, the on-post bar? And then go have sex at one of their rooms?
You're not supposed to have sex in your rooms. But
see, this is what I'm trying to find out for my listeners. Go ahead.
You're not supposed to have overnight guests in your room.
But you could take them back there and bang them and then just go back out.
Yeah, you could, as long as you're both two consenting adults.
Yeah, come on. I'm not talking about rape. I'm talking about two.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that you were. As long as you're both two consenting adults.
Yeah.
And there's nothing illegal going on.
Right.
You're free and clear.
All right, cool. Well, you know, everyone's, you hear about a weird thing where, like, you know, someone did something and they weren't supposed to, and you're like, why couldn't they do that, you know? But a guy couldn't go back and bring a guy back to have set gay sex.
Hey, don't ask, don't tell policy. That's all I got to say.
I know. It's amazing how they got away with that because, I mean, remember.
But you want to know what? There have been homosexuals serving in our military for a long, long time.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to keep them all out.
Right.
And just because they're homosexual, does that make them any less of a person?
No, but here's what I'm wondering. How did they settle for don't ask, don't tell?
That was ruled by Bill Clinton while he was in office.
I know, but how did they ever settle for that? Like, how is that legal?
Quite honestly, that's above my level. I don't know politics like that.
But isn't that still seem like illegal, though? Like they should be able to say whatever the fuck they want, right?
Quite honestly, yeah.
Yeah,
I'll agree with you. That's my opinion, too.
But I guess the thing you don't want is the last thing you want is, like, the integrity of your military to be affected because, you know, you find out some gay guy's in a foxhole with you and he's thinking of your dick. I mean.
But, you know, that's each individual's perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, I was stationed down at Fort Campbell, and I know you remember this because I know you watch the news and keep up on it. I was stationed down at Fort Campbell when they had that beating death of that one soldier.
Yeah.
I was stationed there when that happened. I didn't know the guy, but, oh, yeah, that caused a lot of stir down there. They're like, oh, my God, we got homosexuals in the military. I can't believe it. How can you not believe it?
Right. Well, let me see here.
So what else do you want to know? Ask me anything, Sam. Interview me. I don't
know. No, I mean, we're getting close to the end of the time here. And you actually started off asking me a question, remember? You asked me what I did?
Yeah, no.
Okay. And if you had another
one. All right, you don't have to answer this in, like, an actual amount. You make a pretty good living?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
See, I don't care how much money you make.
No, let's put it this way. Some months I've done incredibly well. However, it's given me it can get to you. Like, it gives you it's like a cushion. And you think, geez, if I've made 15,000 bucks this month.
I can have a lot of shit.
No, you think I don't have to work for the next two or three, like I don't have to do anything for the next 2 or 3 months, and it's even internet marketing. It's not like you just in many respects it is like you can click a button and make money, okay?
Okay.
But after you've set things up, and it's like if you take 2 or 3 months off, even though you can, it's like it is like riding a bike. Like, you don't forget how to do it, but it's like anything else where your marketing muscles just start to get a little weak.
You get lazy?
You get a little weak. You start to take it for granted. You're like, well, you know, I could have a sale for $15,000 next week, so I'm just going to put it off until I really need it. You know, it's like,
gotcha.
Like when you start hitting some big money, it's easy to get caught up in that rut where you're like, well, geez, I don't have to work for the next 3 months. Yeah.
Okay. And so, I got a question for you, though, Sam.
Okay, sure.
Because I never saw you vote on the blog, and I know that you are the overall officiator, and your vote is not, what can we say, valid? Because you're an unbiased person?
Sure, I'm just counting votes.
Okay. But realistically,
yeah.
And it doesn't have to be me if it wasn't, who was your favorite in each blog category?
Yeah, that's a question I have to... See, here's the thing. Let me explain. This is something that I really was surprised with some people who are writers. They didn't have this ability. I have one friend who's an English professor, and I have one friend who is a quote-unquote writer. My friend who's an English professor is also a writer. But the difference between the two is my friend who's a writer, if I said to him, geez, I wrote something, it's really cool, check it out, he's like, he doesn't care. Like, he only is interested in his writing, and it's all about him. And he doesn't care about writing in general. And he's like, you know, what would make you think I would like your writing? I'm like, what? And the reason I even mentioned it to him was because my friend who's an English professor, he does a lot of writing, and he's really good at it. But when you mention that you have a piece of writing for him, he's like, oh, let me see it.
He'll critique it.
Not if you don't ask him to. He's just passionate about writing. So
okay.
He wants to see what you're up to. And if you want, he'll give you advice. But he's fascinated with writing and wants to see what's up. So that's how it is with me. Like, I may have some things which I, you know, like I might find something you wrote funny.
Right.
Or something somebody else writes funny or particularly tickling. But I'm passionate about it and I enjoy it. So I really kind of have
I
have an appreciation for what everybody wrote.
Okay.
That's an
I can accept that.
That was like a long way of saying, like, I'm not saying.
Yeah. That was like a long way of saying, I plead the fifth.
Yeah. But I'll tell you this, in the poetry.
But you know what? I can appreciate that answer, though, too.
Well, I'll tell you this. In the poetry section, for instance, there was one who's tied for the lead, right, who's tied for the lead that really surprised me. It really just surprised me. I didn't expect it.
I'd love to know who it is, but I can't ask because you said you're going to put it out tomorrow.
Well, it's tied for one of the winner slots.
Yeah, no, but I'm.
I'll probably post it in like 2.5 hours.
I know, but what I was trying to say was like I'd love to know who the two are that are tied, but like I said, you're going to post it, so I won't ask.
Yep. Where are you located again? What state?
Illinois.
Illinois. All right. So it's probably only what 11:30. Okay. Yeah, I'm on the East Coast. It's 12:30 here.
You want to know what, though? And, hey, quite honestly, even though the Colts beat our team, because I know you've got to be a Patriots fan, are you?
Oh, yeah.
Because I am, too. I've been a fucking loyal Patriots fan since before the Bears kicked their ass back in 85. Oh, I'm still pissed about that.
Yeah.
Who are you rooting for this Sunday?
I think I'm... I don't know. I'm rooting for Indianapolis.
Are you? You want to know what? Even though they beat us, and I honestly think that we had a chance to win them, but that was a spectacular interception because he ran all the way across that field to get that.
I'm still rooting
for the Colts as well because I hate the Bears. I always have.
It's also like the softest, like the sentimental side of the game. It's like I think Indiana's just had this for a long time coming.
Peyton deserves it.
Yeah, I think
he really deserves it. And I don't care what Lovie Smith says, Urlacher doesn't have shit on what Singletary had as a defensive end back in the day.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Although I do like sports, it is coming to the end of this. And
not a problem.
Actually, it's a half an hour over.
Oh, are we? Oh, shit.
No, because I only set the show for half an hour tonight because I really didn't expect anyone to call in. I just threw the... It was, like, totally last minute. I just wanted to rave on, you know, like, in a monologue fashion. And
I'm sorry to ruin that for you there, Sam.
How could you ruin it if I sent out a bullet and saying call in?
I know. I'm kidding.
Okay.
a sarcastic old bastard.
No, the reason I'm saying is I was intending to just rave on, you know, silently by myself because I found it kind of, I would just say, I don't know, a little bit...
Cathartic?
No, a little bit pathetic that more people didn't support the show.
And I like listening to you. I really do.
Yeah. No, I mean, let's put it this way. I mean, my last show, and I didn't even publicize it. I didn't even post it to a blog. My last show got 209 listens to the archives. But prior to that, my shows prior to that, got one of them got like 1,500 listens to the archives, I think.
Well, I'll tell you that I hit on it quite a few times because there's times where I only get like 20, 30 minutes to listen.
Yep.
So I'll listen to what I can.
Oh, I see what you're
saying. I'll come back in again, and I'll listen to it from where I left off the next time, and if I only get to listen to it for 2 or 3 minutes, I'll try and come back to it so I can listen to the whole show.
Right.
Well, so, I mean, I might be a little guilty of that, you know, bumping up those numbers.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Let's call into Robbie Friedman's show.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the phone number.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody listening, the number to Robbie Friedman's show, let's support this motherfucker.
Is it coming up now?
Hold on a second. You know, fuck this fucking Blog Talk Radio shit. Pardon my language, but here we go. It's 646-652-4885. Okay, and listen, everybody, thank you for listening to the Sam Freedom Hour number 12, which, of course, isn't really the number 12. It's really because the first two were only 15 minutes. And the web space is www.myspace.com/Sam Freedom. And, Fat Kid, give out your website.
Oh, God, let me look. I don't even know it. Hey, I'm trying to keep talking while I'm looking for it. Yeah, I'm a loser. I hate myself. My website is www.myspace.com/WRIGHTMPI.
Okay, everybody, thank you for listening to Sam Freedom Hour number 12. And as always, stay, I don't know, just stay.
Mellow.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye.